Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
This piece was brought to you by Roberta's, robertaspizza.com.
I'm Greg Bresnitz.
And I'm Darren Bresnitz. We're the host of Snacky Tunes.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn.
If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
All right. Holy cow, 200 episodes. And happy Father's Day, everybody. And this is the first time that I've been left alone in the studio. I can't believe it. It's not even my guest. It's my co-host with the most pizza rumba, stuck in traffic in Westchester. But we're going to get him on the phone shortly. Father's Day today. I'm just back off my book tour for You Are a Complete Disappointment. And we've been everywhere. We've been from Metuchen to Milwaukee. We've been in Los Angeles, San Francisco, Chicago, and all points in between. And it's been crazy. The book, You Are a Complete Disappointment. And yeah, it's been pretty amazing out there talking to lots of people about their dads and their experiences. My dad, of course, was he didn't get the Fudgy the Whale Cake from me. Not when he was with us at all. It was rough going there. You are a complete disappointment, being his very last words to me. So for me, Father's Day is not necessarily a party. That's why I was looking forward to. Oh, and here we have. Look at this. Look, this is great. A walk-in guest to save me from this painful, depressing diatribe about Father's Day. I was just about to walk through that door, and here is Aaron Fairbanks, Executive Director of the Heritage Radio Network. Hi, Aaron.
I won't let you be alone.
Today of all days. It's incredible. Actually, 200 shows, and today's 193rd show, and I've never been stood up.
Well,
Zaramba, if you're listening,
you're maybe like too intimidatingly successful now with the new book,
which is not a disappointment, actually. I'm actually really, really thrilled that so many people have called me and talked to me about, like, you know, how much of the book meant to them. And I know at least they saved at least one kid from getting a beating. So, seriously, a neighbor of mine stopped me in the supermarket and said, I just read your book. And, you know, I want you to know I was my kid's been kind of fucking off and not doing his chores and screwing around in school, not doing his homework. And I was going to yell at him. But after I read your book, I decided to pick him up and tell him I loved him instead.
Oh, changing lives.
Hey, if I save one kid from getting yelled at, you know, I think that is a success.
I would take it. And I think there's probably more that you can add to that list.
I've been getting, it's amazing, the outpouring of support I've gotten from everyone who isn't directly related to me.
Well, I think, too, I feel like, you know, you hit a nerve. You know, relationships with parents are tough. And I think one of the things you do in the book so well is you just kind of like, these are my feelings. You lay it out.
Yeah, I do kind of put it out
you
there.
You put it out there. And I think it makes it okay for people to, like, talk about it. And it sparks conversation. And that's powerful stuff.
Well, thank you. And how's Father's Day for you? Where's your dad? Is he with us?
Dad is in Michigan, Northern Michigan. I'm going out to see him next week for a surprise party.
Okay.
Don't listen.
He doesn't listen to my show.
Not yet. After this week,
A Father's Day surprise party or birthday party?
It's a birthday / retirement / Father's Day. Just gotta, put it all together. Just kind of jam it in there.
And does he tell you that he's proud of you? I'm proud of you.
Thank you. You know, that's not really his style. Yeah, no, no. I feel it. I definitely feel it. But he's not super verbal in his affections. Mm-hmm. Or physically affectionate. He's not an affectionate guy.
But yeah. You know.
But I know. But I mean, I know.
You've taken the path lesser traveled, as they say. I mean, you're resume is pretty impressive, but it's not traditional. I mean, you've been, you know, a line cook. You took sort of like alternative classes in college. You've taken a very roundabout way to work for this exciting not-for-profit radio station.
Yeah, I definitely feel
Zaremba shows up, and he's stopping to have a drink with somebody. Okay, the show is shaping up. I got the whole Zaremba family here.
It's gonna happen. It's gonna happen.
Oh my God, he's rallying around. I'm gonna cry.
Don't cry yet.
I'll just turn on my guitar instead.
I feel like my dad, when I left like my first job after college, he just called me kind of aghast and was like, but you have insurance.
Yeah.
As though that was the pinnacle. Hey.
All right. Well, hey. What were you going to do? Stop and have a drink at the bar?
I was sitting at the awkward day table.
Hello, come on in.
Well, it's very awkward considering your wife is here.
Well, that would be an awkward day indeed.
And your son, her father. Well, come on. Don't you go anywhere, Aaron. You're still part of this. All right. Is good. I like this. Somebody's rallying around to make this an actual show. I thought I was going to have to blab for 30 minutes and... boy, oh boy, I could have crashed this whole station.
What do you got in that mason jar?
Very quickly. Oh, it's a little thing called beer, which I've achieved excellent results with by drinking it.
If you drink enough
Sergey,
of it.
What's happening?
Yeah,
Happy Father's Day.
Related to the
How's
volume.
It going?
Pretty good.
We got the whole Zaremba family here. Say hello, Pete.
Hey.
Hello. Hi. Say hello, Pete.
Yeah.
Hello, Pete. Hello's all around.
All right. Well, this is turning out to be quite the mitzvah. Yeah.
This is going to be quite a show.
It's a Father's Day miracle.
Do you want to maybe take just a quick break and we can shuffle the chairs a little bit?
Take a quick break. We just got here. Why do you want to take a break?
I want everyone to sit down and get comfortable.
No, everyone is comfortable. All That's right. like the old joke, right?
Where
the salesman gets hit by the car, right?
Yes.
And the passerby puts his jacket under his head. He says, are you comfortable? And what does he say?
I'm doing all right.
Yeah, he says, I make a living.
I make a living.
Wah, wah.
Well, I blew that one.
No, you see that? You're losing your laser edge of comedy.
I felt like I was jilted, you know, stood up at the altar. I never started the show with an empty room 200 shows later.
And look what happens. Look what happens. They're coming. The reinforcements are on the way.
Here, sir, you can take this microphone, too.
But you know what?
You're much more important than my guitar.
Are we going to entertain anyone or what?
We're going to entertain.
You have a guitar in your hand.
But first, I want to talk to your son.
Uh-oh.
That's right. All right.
Do you have the Daddy Rolling Stone? Were you going to play that?
We can do that. No, I came to class prepared. Well, you were stuck in the van with the
Unlike me.
Or...
Unlike me. I never came to class prepared because my name began with a Z, and they never got to me. So I never had to be prepared.
That's all right. There you go.
Look at that.
All right.
That does
technical,
it.
All right, technical all right. difficulties.
So,
listeners, we would not want you to have missed this part of the show. This is a critical part to understanding the rest of what's going to be happening
all
here.
Right. This is the Fudgy the Whale of radio right now. It's happening.
It's all happening. Fudgy the Whale.
So what's I'll stop, I'll cry.
So what's it like to have a flesh tone for a father, Sergey?
It's interesting.
Oh, yeah? How so?
Very unique.
Saying nothing with saying nothing. Give us the dirt.
I didn't know you were going into politics, sir.
I don't know. I think it's mostly the locations that I go with him, too. You know, I've played with him in Troy as a...
Classic city.
Yeah. As a guitarist, things like that. It's pretty wild. It's not something most kids do.
Yeah, I never did that
at
with 12. My dad.
You never got to play the guitar with your...
No, I went ice fishing one time.
In Michigan.
Ice fishing?
What did you catch? Walleyes or...
Yeah, whatever, man.
Whatever.
Not much, as far as I remember. I remember being real cold and being sad when the hot cocoa ran out.
My father never took me ice fishing. Okay, what else did you guys do that I didn't do?
Well, we went regular fishing.
Yeah. You know, the guy goes ice fishing, right? And he drills the hole, right? and he hears his voice. He goes... There's no fish there, right? And so he thinks it's like he's getting some divine guidance. So he drills another hole, right? And he's about to let his line down. And again, the voice goes, I said there is no fish there. So he goes, uh-oh, I better drill another hole. So he's about to drill another hole, and he hears the voice say, this is the arena manager. I'm telling you, there's no fish under this ice. Now, that's an ice fishing joke.
I'm like, why is he in the marina? This guy doesn't
the
know
arena,
what's up.
The arena, not
the arena.
The
arena.
He's in an ice skating arena.
Oh, I get it.
It's a hockey joke.
Okay, but back to Troy when you were a boy playing the guitar.
At 12.
That's good.
Yeah, it was something. They were doing push-ups, and everyone was screaming, and I was just kind of there.
This is the flesh tongue, so...
Yeah. It sounds like it.
String didn't make it, get me my kid.
But you know, talking about Father's Day, I'm sure you were talking about your book, right?
Yeah, this show is becoming very depressing very quickly until you showed up.
Thank you.
So are you going to do a reading or something for the people?
We have actually...
Are there recipes in that book?
Recipe for disaster.
The recipes of... Sure. My mom's favorite recipe. You take a bunch of frozen chicken and you open up the container and then you drench it with La Choy brand sweet and sour sauce.
Ooh,
then you take a Pathmark brand can of water chestnuts and you dump that on the thing and then you put it in the oven at about 475 degrees until the whole thing is incinerated. And then you tell your children you're having Chinese food.
Chinese food.
La Choy, I remember that La Choy made Chinese swing American.
I don't recall them making it swing.
Well, that's what they say.
That's the food element of my book was just my mother's horrendous rotation of, it was like kosher empire turkey on Monday.
Mm.
Wednesdays were ragu old style spaghetti sauce. Everything was just overcooked and just drowned in sauce.
That's why you became
shake
a gourmand.
Shake and bakes on Tuesday.
Mm.
Shake and bake on Tuesday. And if she forgot to go shopping, which happened incredibly frequently, she would go to the box of pancake mix that was on the shelf. Like I always say, it's like that. The box sat there like the portrait of Dorian Gray, and it would come if she forgot to go shopping.
Breakfast for dinner,
which is why I never eat breakfast for dinner
breakfast
these
dinner.
Days. I don't even have eggs after lunch; it's so depressing.
No. But I like one of my favorite stories from the book was when you guys were out for pizza and your dad wouldn't like let you have a slice of the family that you were out with their pizza.
Yeah, my parents weren't big sharers, and they didn't really understand the family style eating thing. When we went to a Chinese restaurant, an actual Chinese restaurant, they'd order the poo-poo platter for two, even though we were five. and then instead of sharing, and you love these tables with the Lazy Susan. I love a Lazy Susan, by the way. I was like a big circular moving thing.
Yeah.
Like the poo-poo platter. It's like the Emerson, Lake, and Palmer of foods. It's got like a revolving stage and pyrotechnics. This is what I want. I'm a slave to the spectacle.
You've become a Lazy Susan of talent. We can spin you around, Mike. We get the guitarist.
And a
world-known author, editor of famous publications.
That's why I'm the Lazy Susan
of talent.
like the wheel of misfortune.
Well, sir, what do you have for Father's Day breakfast? What do you and
you guys
Marilla,
not celebrating? Celebrating
yes,
your old man today?
That's why I'm a little late because it was so delicious.
Yeah, blueberry pancakes.
Were there a lot of blueberries in them?
There are a lot of blueberries.
Because I find a paucity of blueberries in today's blueberry pancake world.
No, there is no
such
life.
As it is.
Often they're not even blueberries. They're little pieces of apple dyed blue.
Oh, wait a second.
There was no trickery this morning.
No trickery. No trickery up in the Cobble in Lakeville.
No.
And Marilla made them. And we had local maple syrup.
Delicious.
And it was good. It wasn't Uncle Ben. What, the one in the Aunt Jemima?
Aunt Jemima, yeah.
Mrs. Butterworth.
I loved her so much.
I like her, too.
I like the cut of her jib, Mrs. Butterworth.
Mrs. Butterworth.
Hello, Mrs. Butterworth.
Very good. So it was good pancakes, sir?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's good. Well, what about you? When are you going to be a father?
When?
What?
I'm going to give it a decade or so.
Give it a decade?
Maybe more.
Decade or so?
Don't wait as long as we did, because we want to have the grandkids.
Yeah,
we like kids.
All right. Well, this show is getting way too celebratory.
I want to bring
everybody down for a moment. We have a recording. I just got off the road celebrating. You Are a Complete Disappointment. The tour. So we have a reading when Mickey Finn was here. We're on the Snacky Tune show.
Uh-huh.
Thought we'd play a little bit of that just in case anybody really needs to have their heart broken today on Father's Day.
Nonsense.
This should do it. So Dave, the engineer, give this a twirl. We'll take a short break and be back.
Dave, the engineer.
If there's anybody left, we'll be back in few minutes. All right. Mickey Finn, why don't I give you something in the heavy style, maybe in the key of minor? My father was having a hard time speaking. He was on his deathbed, quite literally, in an Arizona hospital room, the best money could buy, with all sorts of tubes exploding out of his arms, monitors beeping and buzzing, nurses bustling in and out to check the connections and interpret the blizzard of numbers that flashed on and off like Christmas lights on a Matterhorn of rack-mounted biotech, a pinball parlor's worth of LED readouts that could just as easily have read extra ball or special when lit. He was breathing erratically through a milky plastic oxygen mask. It collected spittle like the early morning dew, and he waved me over to the bed. "I'm glad you're here," he began. "There's something I want to tell you." So I sidled up close to hear what he had to say. And there's a soft sucking sound from inside the mask, and the low whistle of an air valve doing its things. His eyes were clear and lucid blue. "You," he said, "are a complete disappointment." And he sucked another lungful of oxygen out of the mask, and his eyes opened up like saucers. He was just getting started. "You are a failure," he leveled, gaining strength. "You think you are a hotshot in New York writing books, but you're not. No one wants to read your shit. It's obvious you don't even like yourself," he added, before turning to my younger brother, the Wall Street mocker, who was standing next to me wearing a dirty T-shirt from a recent Who tour. "It's been a pleasure to watch you grow up," he said to him. My father's breathing had become a Greek chorus of pulmonary angst. He sounded like Darth Vader if Darth Vader were an old Jewish man dying in a hospital bed. And after another air valve intermezzo, he turned his attention back to me. "You are broken," he said, "and you need to be fixed." Never mind his immediate challenges, the mask, the tubes, the electrodes, the IV drip, the demoralizing disposable pale green hospital gown, the old man delivered his message right over the plate. "You aren't as smart as you think you are," he hacked. And after taking a moment to catch his breath and marshaling every bit of strength he could, leaning forward like the carved wooden mast on a pirate ship and spitting into his oxygen mask, he added, "You are the only person in this family who is fat."
Happy Father's Day.
That's very inspiring.
I will say that's a classic question my dad asks me every time he sees me. He's like, "Oh, so you've been working out?"
Wow.
So it's like code for, like, "How you doing, kid?"
Yeah. My parents were weight obsessed, and it was weird. They didn't enjoy food, and my mom especially, but they lived in fear of calories and carbohydrates, and they lived in fear of salt and fear of fat and fear of liquor.
So I can only imagine they were incredibly thin and good looking.
You know, my mom was a great-looking girl. When she was young, you'd see her. She was just absolutely, like, startlingly pretty young woman. She was always a good-looking woman. My dad, I was kind of average-looking Jewish guy. I mean, look at me. I don't have the looks, you know?
No, what are you talking about?
No one ever slept with me because of the way I look.
You got the carbs, you got the alcohol, you got the cheese, you got the meat. I think you did all right.
I'm letting myself go. But yeah, but they're very, you know, I don't know. People try to think it's a go, which just people of that generation are so worried about these things. But I don't get it, because I know lots of people who are their age who enjoy life, who chose happiness,
yes,
who chose to live in the moment and be in the present. And I ask you because you've had your resume is amazing. You should tell everybody about this. I mean, but it's not the kind of thing that, like, someone who is not from our world could possibly understand this trajectory.
I think I was 25 and I decided I wanted to work in food, and I'm like, well, I don't really know what that means. So I figure I'll work in a kitchen, work on a farm, and then I'll do some type of advocacy or nonprofit work, and then I'll, like, know what to do with my life.
A farm, nonprofit. I mean, these are all the buzzwords, just like they're like daggers into the hearts of parents. I want to be a musician.
My dad wanted me to be a teacher. My dad always... He was never like, oh, go out there, be great, be a doctor, be a lawyer, be super successful. He's like, do something steady. Well, do something with a good schedule. Do something with the nice insurance policy.
If we go around the table, Mike, you're what are you anyway? You got Mike. Sergey, what are you, a student, right?
Yeah, I'm a student.
Right, we got the bill.
And a student with a guitar in his hand.
Right?
Marilla, yeah. You're a...
Well, Sergey's a student who wants to go into business, and his parents are, I'm an artist, dad's rock star. So naturally, he wants to make a lot of money in business, and he is on his way.
One hopes.
But he's still holding on to that electric guitar. He's not letting go of it. It's in
his
hand right now.
He's not playing it.
Well, you don't have to let go of that electric guitar. You can go off and make your fortune in business, and you can keep that electric guitar.
That's a good idea.
And tell us more about your resume.
What do you want to know?
Well, what are you doing now?
What are you doing Saturday night?
I am the executive director of the Heritage Radio Network.
So. Applause button. Hit the applause button.
You don't have to hit a button. We love Heritage Radio.
Thank you.
This is what passes for a suit here at Heritage Radio Network.
David's not sure where the applause button is.
I just prefer the air horn.
Nice. I'll take it. I'll take it. It's got a little bit more of a...
But you've done an amazing job with Heritage Radio. I mean, listenership is up about 10 bazillion percent.
That's what I was going to ask.
As a not-for-profit, we're very well-funded. Luckily, we've got a bunch of pizza whores,
sponsored by Roberta's fabulous pizza.
Willing to work for pizza. I mean,
absolutely.
It's not a bad way to go. And actually, kind of competitive as far as rates go these days.
That's true, too.
Oh, my.
What a way to go.
No, it's amazing. Believe me, I've done more for less.
Haven't we all?
It's amazing. The Heritage Radio and the show Arts and Seizures and Roberta's have become such a part of my life over the last 5 years. Patrick Martins and I were just talking about this. It's amazing when we started out. The station started in 2009. It was right after I wrote my first book.
What was that book called?
It was called I Have Fun Everywhere I Go.
Great.
There we go.
You Are a Complete Disappointment and I Have Fun Everywhere I Go sort of work together as a piece. This is sort of like my miserable childhood, with my narcissistic father kind of bullying me versus sort of trying to find myself with, my drug magazine and my punk rock band and the exuberance of the second book.
Had to happen in reverse order, right? You had to hear your dad say that you're a total disappointment. It's like, well, fuck you. I'm going to have fun wherever I go.
Well, what were the alternatives?
For a kid from Metuchen.
And you could tell, Sergey, if you consider yourself a rebel going into business because your dad's a rock star and your mom's an artist.
I mean, I never tried to be contrasting to what they are, but it just turned out that way.
He grew up with a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He grew up with fun wherever he went.
Seriously, these guys are their own party, their own circus.
Yeah.
I blasted back into the city.
But the thing is, I never considered myself a rebel, not in the sense of Marlon Brando, what are you rebelling against? What do you got? Because that sounds like just stupid, frankly. And James Dean, Rebel Without a Cause, that didn't end so well. But when you're living with people who are miserable because somehow misery is their default baseline normal, no wonder you go fleeing in the opposite direction.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't like, I'm rebelling. I mean, I'm sure I was acting out a lot of times just because of the awful situation I grew up in. But just being yourself and following your star because I wanted to be an artist, I wanted to be a musician, I wanted to be a writer, which is like, it's like poison to my parents. I became a writer and I became a musician and I became an artist.
Right.
But Mike, was there anyone in your life who was that role model for you, who you're like, oh, that person, that's a person who I could maybe be like?
Well, now it can be told, as Kilgore Trout once said. My aunt Irma Turtle, and who died recently, and I haven't spoken about this at all. I haven't posted on social media about this or anything, but I'm not really fluent in the story because I haven't really been telling the story, but it was my dad's sister, and I was very close to her. And my dad was also very mean to her, and I talked to her often. Aww. She had Parkinson's, advanced Parkinson's disease, and she had terrible back problems. She was in terrible pain for many years, like really,
this
really
better start lightening
withering
up, Mike.
Pain. No, it's actually not. But except that we can celebrate this woman's life because she is the only person I know of whom it can be said she saved lives. Mm-hmm. She had a travel business. She worked for Ogilvy Mather, the big advertising company in New York, and she had this Madison Avenue job. Madison, and she told me that she said, even though she was, in quotes, a weirdo, which meant that she wore black a little bit too much. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's all it took to be a weirdo, right?
The bar was low.
The bar was low. There was a story that she got thrown out of Smith College because she had a motorcycle, but later she told me, no, my boyfriend had a motorcycle, and they asked me to, go to the office. The story was very overblown, but to me, this made her kind of my hero, and I'd heard the story when I was young. But she dropped out of corporate culture and started this business taking yuppies basically to the Sahara, to Ethiopia, to Machu Picchu. Adventure Travel was called.
Wow.
She was written about in all these wonderful magazines.
I knew
And she knew all these indigenous people. And she later wrote a book called Nomads I've Known. And she later told me, and I was very flattered, that she said, I include you in that group. But really what she was talking about were indigenous people in Mali, where she went to do a lot of work, and she saved lives. She built water for purification, and she started, especially after 9/11, when her tourist business kind of went south, she was doing only outreach and charity. And she built schools, and they brought medicine, and they bought goats. And my favorite story is she met Robert Plant one time. In Mali, he was there doing some music, and she called me up and said, have you ever heard of this band called Led Zeppelin? And, you know, this is an old lady who's doing charity work in Africa. And she's wonderful. I mean, she's already a little bit weird. But she had this, like, you know, she dropped out of, like, a very straight job, which she did very well for a long time. And I said, I was kind of coy. I said, I don't know. I think they were popular when I was in high school. Why do you ask? Oh, I met this lovely man, Robert Plant, who gave was in Mali, and he gave me a lot of money. He wrote her a giant check for a charity and put her, like, front and center on her website to raise money. And that's wonderful. He sounds like a very nice man. And a couple weeks later, she calls me back up. She goes, have you ever heard of a song called Stairway to Heaven? And I was like, well, I think it was popular, you know, when I was in high school. Why do you ask? She says, well, the guy just wrote me this giant check. I thought I should get one of his records. And it's really quite lovely. And at that point, of course, I explained to her, like, you know, how, you know, important Led Zeppelin is. And like, wow, that's really something. It's really great. But she was a very humble person, very spiritual. She was absolutely, you know, it was lovely that this man did this, but she was not impressed with, you know,
all the rest, you know,
the rest of it. She really cared. She really saved a lot of lives. There are a lot of children in Africa and Mali now named Irma after her.
And her name was
Irma Turtle.
That's what I thought. Irma Turtle.
Her name. She was married to a guy named Turtle for about 5 seconds, and but she kept the name. And her business was called Turtle Wills. And you can Google it and find Turtle Wills. And I would encourage everyone. There are still people running her charity, and the money is there's like no administration. Uh-huh. She was amazing. Like all the money. I mean, she worked on a very low, you know, overhead herself, and all the money actually went to the people it was intended for. It did not get, you know, go to, you know, whatever.
So this is
administration.
You're turning this into Aunt's Day rather than Father's Day.
Well, yeah, Stu was my inspiration. She was very nice to me.
No,
to finish
but that's
this
a
up.
Great way to celebrate Father's Day. The man who said you're such a great disappointment by celebrating your aunt, who was not him. So
right, yeah. and he also told her, she was kind of a disappointment as well. He was not, which is amazing because if
he
one,
was free. He was free in
if
his disappointment.
One, yes, he was. If there's one person not to be disappointed with, trust me, it was Irma Turtle. This is
are you
not
going out? Are you going to play Daddy Rolling Stone, Mike?
Sergey's got the guitar. I thought we'd do a father.
He doesn't know it.
I don't know
it. So I think you should.
You want to try? It's been the fastest half hour on the internet.
This is
our last show of the summer. We're going to take a break to September. Aaron, I'm trusting you to keep my time slot
open.
Time's
out. Keep it. You can trust me. I'll keep it safe.
I can. You're not like the others.
Not yet.
I like that fidelity.
On the string.
You've been working on that fidelity, Mike. It's excellent. Excellent. We'll all sing along, though.
There's the whoa.
Because I'd prefer if you said that.
All right, we'll give it a go. Listen, I want to thank everybody for making this such a memorable Fudgy the Whale Day. If you can look up Turtle Wills and you know, help some people on the ground out there in Africa. I mean, really, I'm very proud of my aunt, and really disappointed in my old man that he didn't see what an awesome sister he had. Never mind, never mind his firstborn.
Awesome. I think we're going to go see Toots and the Maytals next weekend.
Maybe we should do another show and just do Funky Kingston for 30
minutes. That's right. All right, hopefully he'll play it.
All right. Do you think we know the song?
Well, I think you do.
Sing it.
I didn't have time to prepare. I don't know any of the words.
All right. Well, I thought you said, you're going to play it. You're going to play it. I figured for sure.
No, I didn't have time to go over it.
Oh, I have no idea what the words are. I just know the
I had a girl in something.
Nice. Yeah. That was great.
I had a girl in something. I had a girl in Michigan.
Make it our own.
Because I'm a dad. Dad, a Rolling Stone. All right. close enough for
a complete disappointment.
Yeah.
Actually, today I am a complete disappointment.
All right. Stay tuned all summer for the Best of Arts and Seizures. We'll be back in September.
That's
with
even better.
Lots
really.
Of surprises. Zaremba, let's go hit to the bar. Aaron Fairbanks, thank you very much.
Thank
thanks
you,
to
Mike. Say,
Pat. Thanks
we
to
shall repair.
To Marilla and Sergey, the La Familia Zaremba here. Please come back, all three of you guys, and we'll do a proper show. And
where do you get this fabulous tan?
Thanks to everyone who made you are a complete disappointment tour completely awesome.
Have a good summer, everyone.
Okay. Fondly, warmly, just like we used to sign the yearbooks.
Oh,
no one ever asked me to sign their yearbook. I was very anti-yearbook. Have a fondest regards. Stay in touch. All right. We'll see you guys in September. For Arts and Seizure, this is Mike Edison. See ya.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.
Listeners, we want to tell you about a podcast we're really digging. It's called Christopher Kimball's Milk Street Radio. Every week, they travel the world to find the most fascinating stories about food, including children who harvest cod tongues after school in Norway, and a detective who tracks down food thieves. And on Milk Street Radio, you can always find the unexpected. The comedian who ranks apples using an elaborate 100-point system, the secret history of grocery stores, and how to eat your way through Italy. They also interview the most beloved names in food like Jacques Pepin, Sola Aweli, Jose Andres, Jet Tila, Ina Garten, Nigella Lawson, and Padma Lakshmi. Plus, co-hosts Christopher Kimball and Sarah Moulton do live calls with listeners and answer their questions about ingredients, techniques, and culinary mysteries. Like, why roasting a leg of lamb made one caller's oven explode? Ever wonder why your bread won't rise or your souffle falls flat? Chris and Sarah have the answers. You'll also hear from a rotating cast of contributors, including Kenji Lopez-Alt, Cheryl Day, Dan Pashman from The Sporkful, and Alex Inouz, a French guy cooking from YouTube. Take a listen at 177milkstreet.com/radio or just search your podcast app for Milk Street Radio.